Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. And now joining us is the 1995 World Series MVP, a Hall of Famer as well, and that's Tom Glavine here with us back on the show. Tom, thanks for the time, and how you been?
I'm good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. I know you were playing a little golf a few weeks ago when we were trying to catch up with you. How'd you hit them? Good?
Hit it all right. I didn't score very good, but I hit it okay, so there's work to be done.
Did Smoltz beat you out?
Of course he did, yeah. That's enough about that.
You know, one more on Smoltz. Like, were you ever close to ever beating him when you guys play?
I mean, I've beat him a few times.
Okay.
Not very often, but yeah, I mean, I've had a day or two where I've gotten him, yeah.
I have to imagine, really, nothing really has to frustrate you too much in your life with the career and the life that you live, but having Smoltz beat you has to be tough still, right?
Well, that's probably one of the few frustrating things, yeah. So I just got to work a little bit harder on my game and, you know, try and make up some ground.
Tom Glavine here with us, the Hall of Famer on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So the last few weeks we've been digesting the entire baseball world, this scandal with the Houston Astros, and we'll find out the Red Sox involvement as well. As a former player, just with having the punishment now be handed out and more information come out over the last few days, how do you react to this scandal, Tom?
Well, I mean, I think the bad thing or the unfortunate thing with what we know about Houston, and I guess, like you said, we'll find out with the Red Sox. I mean, you know, it's just that kind of thing where it's gone to another level that's just unacceptable. I mean, I know that trying to get team signs, trying to do that stuff on the field has always been a part of the game. I mean, that's something that we always tried to do. You were constantly watching a third base coach to see if you could get their signs. You, as a runner on second base, always looking at the catcher's signs to see if you knew what they were doing. I mean, all that stuff was a part of the game, but there's a difference when it's a part of what's going on the field versus now this new level of trying to use electronics or things of that nature to try and gain an advantage. When you're on the field trying to do it and the other team has the same ability, okay, you're on that level playing field where it's that gamesmanship where somebody's trying to get one up. But when you're using things that you have in your home ballpark that the visiting team does not have available to them, then that takes it to another level, and that's cheating. And I think it's something that I expected Major League Baseball to hand out some harsh penalties. I guess I'm a little bit surprised about the collateral damage. I didn't really think about, Cora and Beltran and these other guys that have gotten caught up in it, but it certainly makes sense. You know, if you're a team that had one of those guys involved and they were one of your managers, then you really had no choice but to cut ties.
So you thought the Mets operated under the right decision and took the right process by getting rid of Carlos Beltran, even though, you know, whatever it is, firing, mutually agreeing to part ways, however they want to phrase it, you thought that was the right move by the Mets?
I think it was. I think they had to. You know, I mean, that's not something that you want to be associated with. I mean, obviously, it isn't anything that your organization took part in, but at the same time, when you have somebody who's leading your organization that was a part of it, you know, you can see where obviously the optics are bad, the PR is bad. So I think both that move and the core move in Boston made total sense. I think the teams really, to some extent, had no choice.
You played with Carlos Beltran. You also played against Carlos Beltran. Has your opinion about him changed?
No, it hasn't. I mean, look, I mean, I think, you know, those guys that were involved, to what level they were involved, I mean, I don't know. Will we ever know? Who knows? Certainly some guys have been more implicated than others. But no, I mean, look, again, I think it's something that at the time maybe you thought was something that maybe wasn't that bad of an idea. And you're always looking for an edge in a ball game. In hindsight, I think, obviously, it was a bad move. I think they know that it was a bad move and something that you know, they have to take responsibility for, and they have. So no, I have no ill will towards any of those guys that were involved. It's something that they're going to have to deal with and live with, and you know, that's again, like I said, that's something they got to deal with.
We're talking to the Hall of Famer and Tom Glavine on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Something that really hasn't sit well with me so far, Tom, is when we see the apology that A.J. Hinch did give out on the MLB Network with Tom Verducci. He kept on saying he didn't like it, but still he didn't do anything as a manager to put an end to it. You read stuff in The Athletic yesterday that people were afraid to approach Beltran in the clubhouse. Even Hinch and McCann did, and Beltran kind of steamrolled right through him. How about the role of A.J. Hinch? Because he keeps on saying he didn't like it, but then yet again, you're in a position of power, and you didn't do anything to stop it.
Well, and I think that's, you know, there's a reason why that's frustrating, or maybe you don't like it. I mean, I didn't see the whole interview. I certainly saw excerpts of it, and that being one of the big excerpts, and I think I had the same impression. You know, you're saying that you knew about it, but you didn't do anything about it. You feel bad about it, but you didn't do anything about it. And, you know, to me, that just – I don't know AJ. I have no reason but to have respect for him, certainly for what he's done as a manager. But it seemed to me like, you know, he's kind of trying to toe the line a little bit to where – he's accepting some responsibility, but maybe doesn't want to bear all the responsibility. You know, I'm sure he has his eye on trying to get in the back in the game at some point in time. So, you know, it just seemed like kind of a tap dance a little bit. But look, at the end of the day, he's the manager. If he wanted it to stop, then he could have put a stop to it, but he didn't.
And then the other thing with the interview, he was asked about the buzzer and the possibility of some of his players wearing a buzzer, and he didn't really give an emphatic response. I know Aaron Boone talked about that today, and he said that he can't fully say that they weren't using buzzers. The timeline in the Manfred report was that the Astros stopped using illegal, forms of, you know, ways to steal signs with technology sometime in 2018 before the postseason, and they said they found nothing about a buzzer. Do you trust right away baseball's, findings, their investigation for it to be fully true? Because to be honest with you, as a fan of the game and also as a talk show host, I just see some of the responses from Hinch and even Altuve. When people question about the buzzer, he said his wife didn't want his shirt being ripped off. And to me, it's just not believable. So it makes me question baseball's investigation a little bit.
Well, look, I mean, I think we live in a day and age where you're not really surprised by anything you hear, it seems like, sadly, anymore. You're not totally caught off guard when you were led to believe that one thing was true and something else ended up being the truth. So, you know, this is no different. And sadly, that's the world we live in. I'm not using that as an excuse. I guess I'm just trying to say that I accept, I guess, where Major League Baseball is right now and where the investigation is and what they said. Having said that, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if something more comes out. I mean, I think that's the nature of this whole thing, right? I mean, everybody's trying to get their arms around exactly what did happen. I'm sure there is some level of, hey, we got caught and this is what we did. And maybe there's some level of holding on to the full truth, and the full truth hasn't been disclosed. So, look, like I said, it is where it is right now. Would I be completely floored if I heard somewhere down the road that the buzzer thing was true and it went to that extent? No, I probably wouldn't be. I'd probably be a little bit shocked that a team would actually go to those lengths to do something like that. I mean, again, it's one thing to get a feed off of a monitor and bang a trash can. It's another thing to go to another level of having buzzers or whatever else may be the case. So I think it would be more shocked that they went to that level than it would be shocked to find out that they did. But again, I think it gets back to it's going to be an extremely uncomfortable year for the foreseeable future for any of those guys that are playing with the Astros right now, for any of those guys that were involved. And it's something that sadly for them in their championship is going to be tainted, because people are going to want to ask them about that. And there's some people that are going to accept what they say, and there are some people that are never going to accept what they say. And like I say, that's their world. That's stuff that they're going to have to deal with.
Do you personally think it's tainted?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, I played in an era, a big chunk of my career in an era where guys were doing steroids and it was considered cheating. Now, people will tell you, well, not really cheating. They still had to hit the ball, and they still had to do this, and they still had to do that. Well, you know, this is the same thing. You can know what pitch is coming theoretically. You still got to hit the pitch. You still got to have a good at bat. You still got to do all those things. Does it give you an unfair advantage? Of course it does. So is it completely tainted? Probably not. Is it somewhat tainted? Yeah, but I think that's something that, you know, people are going to make up on their own minds. Like I said, I mean, there are people who think that, you know, guys that were doing steroids in my era, it was 100% cheating, and other people who don't, you know, think it's a little bit, but not so much. So, I mean, I think you're going to get varying degrees of what people think. I think it definitely taints it to some extent, but not to the point where, you know, I would have, you know, you hear some people saying, oh, they should be stripped of their championship, or they this or that. I don't think it's to that degree.
The comparison to the steroids is very interesting, as we're talking to the Hall of Famer and Tom Glavin, because steroids is kind of an individual decision. I'm sure guys were partnering up and sharing info throughout the years, but this scandal with the Astros, and, you know, I personally think steroids are worse personally, but with this situation with the Astros, it's kind of as this was more of a team decision. I know it's different with batters and pitchers, but it was a little bit more of a team decision here when you look at the offensive guys compared to the individual decision of steroids.
No, you're right. You look at the, you know, you look at the individual aspect of the steroids, and yeah, it was, you know, individuals decided to do things that they were doing, but on a larger scale, I guarantee you there were people in locker rooms that knew guys were doing stuff, and
sure,
in an indirect way, it had an effect on a team, right? Well, this is really the first time where it seems like something of this nature has come along where seemingly the whole team was in on it. So, yeah, I think it is a little bit different in that regard. I mean, you know, do you want to put something like this in the forum of cheating is cheating and it's all the same? I don't know. That's probably not fair to do either. But I do think it has a little bit of a difference to it because what we just said, where it's really the first thing that's come along where, you know, collectively a group was doing something that gave their team an advantage versus maybe an individual here, an individual there that maybe some guys knew some things about but didn't say, but as a whole it had an effect on their team. So, you know, there's a little bit of crossover, but certainly it's a unique situation to baseball.
Do you ever have any regret not stepping up a little bit and being in a locker room? And I know the steroids are different than this, but just saying, hey, guys, like, knock it off. You guys shouldn't be using that stuff.
No, because in my instance, I didn't know who was using it. You had your suspicions, but, you know, I mean, I think that was probably the case by and large. For the most part, I do believe that there were some instances where, you know, people knew other guys that were doing it, and they knew guys were doing it, either because they were close enough that they knew or because they were doing it with other guys. So, you know, I think it's a little bit different because, yeah, there was a lot of speculation and there was a lot of suspicion, but, you know, I can't honestly sit here and tell you that I knew this guy on my team or that guy on my team. I might have had suspicions, but I never knew for sure that somebody was doing it. Like I said, I don't think that's the case across baseball. But if you know or you're doing something with somebody, obviously you're going to be less likely to say anything. I just think it was one of those things that if you're not 100% sure, then you just keep your mouth shut and go about your business.
Hall of Famer Tom Glavin here with us. If you were an Astros player that was involved in this, and now it's about the apology, and you're right, this isn't fading. This is going to be talked about in spring training. It's being talked about right now. It's going to be talked about every time you go on the road. Members of the media are going to bring it up. How would you approach it if you were asked about it as a player?
Well, I mean, I think if you were there and you were a part of it, then you got to own it and you got to be honest about it. Because if you're not, then as this thing goes on and maybe some more things are uncovered or maybe some more things are learned that guys weren't, you know, completely honest about, then it's just going to continue to take on a life of its own. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I don't think it's any different than, you know, when you're a player and you have a bad game and you hide from the media because you don't want to be accountable for your actions. Well, that puts you in a bad light, and that instantly makes you a target for the media to want to ask more questions and to paint you in a bad light. It's really easy to paint this whole thing in a bad light, but I think as the players who are involved, if you are out front with it, you're honest about it to the point, I guess, that you can be truthful, that you know about what was going on, then you have to own it. You have to go into a city knowing you're going to get questions about it. You have to be prepared for it, and you have, like I said, to some extent, you have to wear it, because that's the only way. Either A, it's going to start to die down a little bit, because there's only so much you can ask about it or talk about it unless something new is learned that people were covering up. And then I think it gives you some credibility as an individual that if you're out there and you're answering questions about it and you're wearing it, then I think that gives you a little bit more credibility. And at some point in time, reporters are going to get tired of asking about it. But if you hide from it, then I think it takes on even more of a life. I think it paints you in a bad light. And I think it forces people to continue to digging and find out more answers.
He's the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine here with us. This new playoff format that could be implemented in 2022, seven teams in each league, the second division winner picking, and then from there on, you'll have a trickle-down effect of who's going to be able to pick who, and it's going to be four total wild card teams. Is that too many teams in the playoffs, or do you like the idea?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't paid a ton of attention, so this is the first I've heard about it. I think my initial two reactions are, you know, number one, you're getting to be like hockey and basketball, where seemingly everybody makes the playoffs. But number two, I think we've always been a sport that's been resistant to change. And I think for the most part, the changes that have been made in the long run have been good changes. I mean, look, everybody was against the wild card when it first came out, myself included. And I certainly were against the second wild card. I think we all see that it's been a pretty good addition to the game. If for no other reason, it keeps more cities interested and more cities involved throughout the course of the year, which is certainly a good thing for the game. So, look, I think anytime you have these ideas that are put out there, there's a little bit of a trial balloon aspect to it, to see what people think, what the feedback is, and then you kind of take that information and maybe you hone the idea a little bit and refine it a little bit. And get it down to where maybe you think it makes more sense. So, you know, I think to some extent, maybe this is just Major League Baseball trying to see what the reaction will be, and then they'll tweak it from there. But I don't think there's any doubt moving forward. I don't know what the time frame is, that you're going to see probably some sort of realignment. You're going to see some realignment as it relates to the playoffs. You know, I think the big thing with adding, you know, teams to the playoffs and all that is you got to start tinkering with the schedule in the regular season and how many games you play. And I can tell you that before the wild card came about in my day, there was talk about adding another round of playoffs and doing some of these things. And it always got back to, well, how do we deal with the shortened regular season schedule? How do we pay players based on, and I'm just throwing a number out there, 154-game schedule instead of 162-game, and teams are losing home games. So all these things are going to have to factor into it. But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that we're not done seeing tinkering with the playoff picture.
I'm going to assume, and I don't like this rule, as we're talking to Tom Glavine, that you do not like the three-batter minimum for pitchers to start an inning or when they come into the game.
I do and I don't.
Interesting.
I think, you know, because I think from the standpoint of speeding up the game, yeah, I think it makes sense, right? On the other hand, you know, you're going to run into some situations where if a pitcher has a minimum of hitters he's got to face, you're going to start running into some questions about guys getting hurt, and are guys really hurt, or are they faking an injury so that you can make a pitching change? I mean, all that stuff, that stuff's going to come into play at some point in time. I think more than anything else, I just wish we would get back to the day where a right-handed pitcher could come into a game and actually get a left-handed hitter out,
yeah,
and vice
nice.
Versa. I mean, to me, I look back at, and again, I know the game has changed. I'm not trying to be an old curmudgeon-y fuddy-duddy. But I look back to my days, and, every team had a guy, and for us, the guy I always think of is Mike Remlinger. Every team had a guy who could go out there and equally get a lefty out and a righty out somewhere in the middle portion of the game. And as I joke about it all the time on broadcasts that I do, it's like, well, I miss the rule change where a left-handed pitcher can't get a right-handed hitter out and vice versa. That's where it kills you. It kills me as a commentator doing the game, because you know from the seventh inning on, you're going to see a minimum of five pitching changes. And it just, it gets old, and I know it's old for the fans, and it seems like no matter how fast a game is, the last three innings take an hour plus every single night. So it makes the game drag, and I appreciate the fact that Major League Baseball is trying to address it. I'm curious to see how it all plays out.
Tom, always do appreciate the time. I'd love to get you back on in a few weeks because I know there's a lot to talk to in the NL East, but you did a great job with us. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
I appreciate it. You know where to find me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.